to Speak Out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When the sweat hogs were cutting class, Mr. Carter longed for the Horshack laugh. Who did he turn to?
The police!
Astute Speak Out listeners also know that when the disco world looked for a John Travolta body double, there was only one choice.
The police!
No. This world-renowned, white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
That's right, ready or not, here I come. It's Paul Lavoie, and it's Tuesday, September 23rd, 2025, the beginning of Education Week here on Speak Out. And we've got very special guests this week, all devoted to education here in Lake Havasu City, the tri-state area, Arizona. And our first guest is actually a recorded it's an interview, but it's a panel interview. And you may remember or know who Olivia Fierro is. She is the panel moderator. And this is about K-12 education in the state, the challenges they face, and some other things, both in public schools and charter schools. Other than that, we have, oh my gosh, do we have tickets? This is like Ticketron in here today, man. I'm serious. It's like, I have 4 Cardinals tickets against the Seahawks this Thursday. I can't even imagine how many calls we're going to get for those. But don't call unless I say to call, okay? Marissa June, very busy today. And because we also have 4 tickets for the ASU and TCU game Friday night, Texas Christian, ranked number 24 in the country. And then I have a ton of tickets, not a ton, but we have several pairs of tickets to Marlon Wayans. And he's going to be at the Tropicana Laughlin, and that's on the Wild Child Tour. And that is October 4th at 8 p.m. I've got tickets, free tickets for Marlon Wayans. But don't call on any of these tickets until I say, hey, give us a call at 928-855-9336. Don't call the studio here. I got lots to do today. We have another guest coming in as well. Carol Langford, the coordinator of the Taste of Havasu, will be here. And that, of course, benefits the Havasu K-12 Foundation. So that is a fantastic event that draws more and more people every year. And she might even have tickets. I don't know. They haven't gone on sale yet. They may be going on sale this week. I have a feeling that's why Carol is coming in. All right. Without further ado, let's go to this interview. It's actually a panel, and the panelists are Carolyn Haley from the State Board of Education, Steve King, Superintendent of the Yavapai County School District, Jake Logan from the Arizona Charter School Association, and Carla Phillips Krivakis, or Krivakis. She is with Champions for Kids, and she is a disability advocate. So without further ado, let's go to that K-12 panel, which is moderated by Olivia Fierro.
K-12 education is the cornerstone of our system. These are the years that shape futures from kindergarten through high school, where students build the knowledge and the confidence to succeed in college, careers, and in life. But our schools face, of course, real challenges, teacher shortages, funding pressures, equity gaps, plus a divide over school choice and access to education savings accounts, or ESAs. Yet Arizonans agree on the core. K-12 goals. Data from the Center for the Future of Arizona shows that 89% believe every student deserves an excellent education at this stage of life. 92% say strong teachers and principals are essential. And 79% support increasing funding for our public schools and transparency for dollars that go elsewhere. So how do we make sure every child in Arizona has the opportunity to thrive? Let's welcome our panelists today, and we're going to be able to indulge in their expertise. Very much looking forward to it. So we have Catherine Haley from the Arizona State Board of Education, Steve King from the Yavapai County School District Superintendent, and Steve here, and Jake Logan from the Arizona Charter School Association, along with Carla Phillips Krivikas from Champions for Kids. So thank you all so much for being here. I'm very excited to get our conversation going. I'm going to start, Steve, with you, because you are an educator. You're dealing with this big district. You've got the teachers, the students, the principals, the community. You're balancing a lot of things. So give us a glimpse into the state of public education and what some of the biggest challenges are that you're facing.
Great question. And so I'm the Yavapai County School Superintendent. So my role is a little bit different than a district superintendent. And I was a district superintendent for about 7 years, but it's now I'm the head of an education service agency. And what that is you identify what those needs are, listen, innovate, and serve. So finding what those needs are. But the challenges where I'm from in Yavapai County, anyway, and I don't pretend to know much about anything except Yavapai County schools and kids, is there's a lot of challenges we have up there, and a lot of great things that are happening too, and I hope I get a chance to talk about that. But you hit upon the teacher shortage, which is a huge challenge that we're seeing, and one of the goals that I have, and I think the goal for this entire state should be having a highly qualified teacher, effective teacher in front of every kid in Yavapai County or across the entire state for that matter. And that's easier said than done. What we're seeing is a lot of teachers leaving the profession and not as many coming in the pipeline. A lot of leaving the state for pay issues. You look at the price of housing, and I know where I'm from in Yavapai County, the average price of a home and a stick-built home in Yavapai County, median price is right around $700,000. And I was the superintendent of a school district, the highest paid person in that school district, and had I not moved to Yavapai County 25 years ago, I would not find a place to live. Mm-hmm. So how do we expect to recruit teachers to come and live in Yavapai County and teach in our schools? So my two favorite words, as anyone who's worked with me for any amount of time, will be, so what, right? We have challenges, but so what? What are you willing to do about it? So a lot of different things, working with the colleges, working with the universities, working with the school districts to grow your own teacher programs, to help facilitate putting those the goal of having a highly qualified teacher in front of every kid. But make no mistake, these are the challenges are deep and they're complex. There are a lot of challenges that we have.
Well, we're going to tackle some of those challenges hopefully today, and at least have those who are listening and joining us at home some takeaways that can make us feel like we are all able to better the circumstance for the state. So, Catherine, let me bring you in and have you give sort of a rating. You're on the inside, and I imagine dealing with much of what Steve was talking about, that it seems like there are easy solutions when you're not looking at the complexity of all of this. But give us a picture of how many students are in the system and what our resources are, maybe what you would focus on as our biggest challenge and maybe our biggest win.
Great. Thank you so much, Olivia, and thank you for the opportunity to be here with Clean Elections and Arizona Media. I should note that, yes, I serve as president of the State Board of Education, but my views are my own. I'm also the founder and a partner of Okra's Group, a strategy consulting firm. But it's a real joy to be here. In our role at the State Board of Education, we have over 1.1 million students in our public education system. About 20-some percent, and Jake can correct me if I'm a little off on my statistics, more than 20% are attending charter schools. We also have a rising population, about 5% in our home education, and more than 5%. We actually don't know the exact number of students participating in our private schools. But what's really interesting, since 2011, that was our peak time of student enrollment in our K-12. Due to sort of declining in births, we've seen a decline in student participation in our K-12 schools, but we also, over the last 30 years, we also have a lot of choice and opportunity. We'll probably talk later today about the empowerment scholarship accounts that we have. It's very interesting. Funding for K-12 education has certainly gone up. We used to be quite low when we looked at Arizona nationally amongst the 50 states, District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico, but we are moving up. A couple wins that I think we have some great policy on the books. When you look at Move On When Reading, this is our K through 3 literacy focus. We are slowly in 2022, I believe, the state board passed some rules and regulations to really hold our schools of education accountable for the education that our next generation of educators. So by 2026, our educators will have to be schooled in the science of reading. This is phonetics, vocabulary, comprehension, a wide range of things.
Well, and as Catherine was speaking, we're talking about all of our students, so, you know, including those who are choosing charter schools, private schools, homeschooling, other programs, and also those who have special needs that are also in all of those same opportunities. So, Carla, let me bring you in and have you give us sort of a snapshot of where we are about your organization, what your perspective is, and the resources that are needed and currently available.
Great. Thank you, Ian. Thank you for having me. So I'm a co-founder of Champions for Change, and we are a coalition of parents, attorneys, and advocates, bringing a voice for students with disabilities in all of these forms. So we're really grateful to be able to be here. So contrary to what I think would shock a lot of people, is about 14% of students in Arizona have a disability, meaning it's diagnosed and they have an individualized education plan. It's about 140,000 plus students, so it's a lot of kids. But what I find so interesting is that often the preconceived notions of students with disabilities is that they think of kids like with autism, with Down syndrome, kids with very significant disabilities, but 80% of kids with disabilities have what I call invisible disabilities. Mm-hmm. So you think ADD, you think dyslexia, you think a speech-language impairment, and these kids are in regular classrooms with regular teachers all day. And those are the kids that we find that go undiagnosed, unidentified, and underserved. Mm-hmm. So when I think of those 12th graders who are not reading, I think, how many have we missed along mm-hmm. the way? Mm-hmm. So I think if my one big takeaway is, parents, if you know something, if you're getting that sense, that mommy instinct that something's wrong, don't be afraid to push and ask and evaluate and get the services and supports that you get, because oftentimes parents are told, he's fine, everything's fine, until it's not.
Everyone learns in their own way,
yeah.
At their own rate. In our earlier conversation about early childhood ed, also talking about the importance of that access to an educator who is well-trained to be able to help a parent who might not otherwise know, identify, hey, we're not meeting these benchmarks or something, is a little bit, you know, different, that the earlier the better to address and figure out.
Absolutely.
How to make sure that they're learning and that they're feeling positive about going to school, right?
Absolutely. The earlier the identification, the earlier the intervention, the higher rate of success, mm-hmm. regardless of the disability.
So, Jake, let me bring you in here. Yeah. We're talking about all of the options that parents, families, students have now, educators as well. I mean, the jobs can maybe feel different. Fundamentally, it is the same, but there are different environments that work better for some, both from a professional perspective and a learning perspective. So tell me about the options that are presented in the state. We always have people moving to Arizona, and they may get here and just be baffled by the system.
Yeah.
So break it down
no
for us.
No question. Thank you again for having me. It can be a bit overwhelming when you're a new parent and you're trying to sort out where the right fit might be for your student or your child. So in Maricopa County, about 50% of the families use school choice. If you define that as going to a school other than the district school they're assigned to.
Okay.
So that could be as...
What was the percentage?
It's about 50%
wow.
in Maricopa
okay.
County, yeah. It could be a different district. That's probably the most popular option, is I'm going to go to a different school within my district or in a different district. Could be a charter school in Arizona. As Catherine noted, we have a little over 20% of students in public education are enrolled in a charter school, which as a state is higher than anywhere in the country. And then you have the option of using an ESA and choosing a path that that works for an ESA. So it can be overwhelming. My advice is always visit a school.
Yes.
You get a vibe. You can kind of tell if that's the right fit for my student. And where charter schools, obviously a homer for charter schools, but I think a lot of districts have done great work too, is really trying to customize and figure out What is their thing? Is it music? Is it sports? Is it a dual language? Is it STEM? And there's so many good choices in Arizona. We've got a lot of work to do, and there are a lot of challenges, but there are some really good schools doing really great things, district and charter schools. And I really feel like it's hard work, but when you sort out and you find that right fit, it's like magic. Mm-hmm. It's just a great, great thing to see.
And the number of options, I mean, it can be staggering. So what are some questions to be asking as you're looking at this list and deciding, okay, I gotta narrow down a couple of school visits, and I want to really know what my options are as maybe you're entering a new grade, or if you're hitting middle school or high school, or, you know, at any stage in between?
Yeah, it's a great question. I always tell people, if you've seen one charter school, you've seen one charter school.
Right.
They're all different. They all have a different vibe, mission, serve different kinds of students. There's a lot of public information out there. You can go to the Department of Education's website, and it will give you information on schools. Like my organization, the Arizona Charter Schools Association, has a website where you can type in your address, and it'll show you the schools in that area. But I'll say it again. I really don't think there's any substitute for physically visiting that school. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the curriculum look like? What's the teacher ratio? What are the specials or the other things that you offer? They're just all so different, and it can be overwhelming, but if you kind of narrow in on two or three, and a lot of parents will have something in mind, you know, my student really loves playing the trumpet or the arts, and there's schools that really specialize in that. So it's a little tricky to get through, but once you get through it, I think it usually works out pretty well.
Hey, Brother Jim?
Yeah.
This would be like one of the only times I ever play 38 Special. It's a song called Teacher, Teacher.
Uh-huh.
All right. Welcome back. Brother Jim's joining me today
indeed.
The studio, and we're going to have the K-12 Foundation up after another segment of that panel discussion. Right now, we're giving away Marlon Wayans tickets. You know who the Wayans brothers are, right?
Yes.
He's an offshoot of that.
Wow.
The Wild Child Tour coming to the Tropicana Laughlin Saturday, October 4th. At 8 p.m., call 928-855-9336. That's our office. You know that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. And Marissa June's manning the phones, and she'll take care of you. You're going to need your email address, by the way. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. It's Education Week. How about that, Jim?
We all need a little more education.
In everything, right? Back with more in a moment.
Children well, their fathers' hell did slowly go by.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. It is Education Week, and we're broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out kitchen with no sink. You notice how there's Oreos over there again?
Oh, I better go check them in.
I've got like an Oreo addiction. It's horrible.
That's easy to have. You can never lose that. You know?
Yeah, but then you got to have milk if you do it right, right?
Right.
Anyway,
milk.
Yeah. Find City Maytag at 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By Just Meats. By Salmon's Air Conditioning. Springberg Wealth Management. Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road. And our newest sponsor, you know this one, right? The Hob Days own it. That's your clue. A&B Propane.
Yep, of course.
Real people.
Yes,
real service.
Yes, real people. And their propane flies all the balloons for the Balloon Festival.
Oh, it does?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, nice. Also, real people, real service, no hidden fees, no runaround. ABPropaneAZ.com.
Yes.
There you go. And keep it local, folks. Try to shop local whenever you can.
You bet.
These are good people, especially the ones that sponsor this show. Go in and tell them how much you appreciate it.
Yeah.
Right?
They're so wise to spend their sponsorship and advertising dollar here. They'd be great to do business.
Right. We got about 8 minutes on this next segment, and then we'll come back, take a break, and we'll go to Carol Langford, the coordinator of the Taste of Havasu.
Well.
Which, that segment always makes me hungry. You know?
I haven't gotten over the cookies yet.
That's one of my other pronouns, you know. He, him, and hungry.
Uh-huh.
All right. We'll be back after this recorded segment.
So as you are helping families navigate maybe seeking out a diagnosis, an evaluation, an identification, so that maybe they can get an IEP that is going to allow their child to just be on that even playing field, right? That's what that is about. How do you move that forward and also give yourself options or decisions regarding schools? Does everybody honor an IEP in the same way? What are the logistics or legalities around that?
Well, that was a lot of questions, so I'm gonna try to tackle them, but they were good ones. Charter schools are public schools, so they provide the same level of resources they're responsible for as all public schools. So I just want to say that at the outset. But there are a lot of choices for kids with disabilities as well, especially in the homeschool arena, especially with ESAs now. We don't talk about it a lot, but 16,000 of the students who are using an ESA have a disability. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot. Mm-hmm. I would always encourage parents. I think that the thing that we hear the most is they don't want that label.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a lot of parents who don't want that label. They're afraid they won't be able to get into a certain school or get into college. And I just had one of my partners say something to me the other day that made me laugh. She's like, you don't want to label your kid, but the world already has. If your child is struggling, whether it's to pay attention, whether it's to see, whatever it is, it's already happening. So we really encourage parents to, you know, seek out that evaluation and get those resources that come with it, because unfortunately that's how those are unlocked.
So Catherine, what is your takeaway of the most recent test scores and what is going to be implemented as we are trying to make even incremental improvements?
Gosh, those are big questions. I would say looking at the recent NAEP scores for 12th grade reading and math, and sort of the dip, when you look at Arizona scores, we had really sort of crescendoed up to 2019. When you look at our fourth grade reading, just after the pandemic, in the middle of the pandemic around 2022, we held strong. We didn't really see much change, unlike much of the other parts of the country. And then we've sort of seen a more dramatic dip. What I would say is it's getting back to the basics. I think Carla said it really well of how many students have been sort of passed along and within our existing system that have not had the specific instruction or the support or educators or other members of the education team to come alongside to help ensure that that child has the foundation that he or she needs to thrive. Couple things. One, I think the fact that Move On When Reading is a policy we've had on the books for over 10 years. I think
so. Third grade?
This is sort of the third grade reading that in theory, like if you are not proficient at reading, you're supposed to be held back.
Don't go on to fourth grade because you're never going to catch up.
Right. The idea is that foundation, that unique time is really setting the foundation, not I'm just reading, but I'm reading to learn. I'm reading to understand. I'm reading to help apply not only just concepts that I'm learning in the different subjects, but also apply to math. When I look at the recent results, it's one, the pandemic had a tremendous impact on our kids. But that also means that kids might not have had the foundation that they needed prior to the pandemic. I commend Read On Arizona and the strategic partners with ADE, our foundations, and other agencies across the state. They are really focused that by 2030, that I think it's about 75% at a minimum of our kids will be reading proficient by grade three.
Okay. And we know that the trickle-down effect, of course, we see definitely with how many Arizonans are graduating from high school, how many are staying in. What do you see about the retention rates and also, you know, what can be done? Where are the issues happening? Because we're losing quite a few kids.
Yeah, it's kind of been a phenomena post-COVID where there's just a lot of kids that never came back.
And absenteeism chronic.
Yeah, absenteeism is a real challenge. And my hat's off to a lot of educators because they will literally go and knock on the door and say, hey, yeah, we're in school today. Come on, let's go, you know, and calling. And I feel like there has been an increased emphasis since COVID from school leaders on how do we make sure those kids are in school and showing up. And it's hard work. It is challenging. You know, people have a lot of difficult things in their lives that they're working through at times, but trying to make sure that student is in class and learning and in a position to learn. I'm blown away by some of our educators and the extra mile they go to make sure those kids are in school. And it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard work.
Mm-hmm. We know that not everybody has a parent at home who is going to be invested in student success and understanding the value of being bottom in the chair, ready to learn on a daily basis. But for those parents who are very invested, do understand that this is the open door. You know, I'm a first generation college graduate. I mean, the priority was there all along. If you're coming from this perspective, at what stage do you step in when you see some struggle? And at what stage is it best to be hands off? I imagine, you know, schools are very challenging because there are some parents who are probably there all the time and really don't need to be and need to let people do their thing. So maybe from the two of you.
Well, I think it definitely depends per child.
Yes.
If you have children, you know they're very different. I've probably been accused of being a helicopter mom, so I have that perspective. I think right away. It's part of just going with that, your instincts. I think parents know right away when something is off. And they may be seeing things at home that aren't being seen at school or vice versa. So I say, do not be afraid. Even the best performing schools, kids can struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nobody's fault, but kids are struggling. So you have to step up right away and say, I think something's going on. You know, that's why we call ourselves Champions for Kids, because we believe every child deserves a champion.
So maybe you should give the advice of how to bring an issue to the table while still being supportive of your educators and,
you know. And I think the first thing with anything is you got to admit you have an issue, right? And once that admission happens, and that doesn't always happen. You look at chronic absenteeism, for example. It's kind of a hidden, because there's a small percentage of kids that are creating a lot of absences. When the state measures absenteeism, they say, oh, you got a 7% absenteeism.
That's a hard chart to decipher,
right?
By the way.
Exactly.
I want to make a complaint about that one.
But if you dig into a little bit deeper, you know, 20% of these kids are creating almost all those absences.
Yeah.
And so, and targeting them, but actually holding them to a standard, because what happens, and this is a very real thing that we see, is that young kids, kindergarten, first, second, third grade, we're seeing upwards 50, 60, 70 absences a year. That's devastating for their education. Not only for their education, but think about all the additional resources you have to put into educating that child that's taking away from every other kid. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, if a kid doesn't know what's going on in school, what's he going to do or is she going to do? They're going to act out. And that creates challenges, learning challenges for everyone.
Oh, we have an audience question for you today. So let me bring in Janelle. Hi, Janelle.
Hello. My name is Reverend Janelle Wood. And I am with Black Mothers Forum, and I appreciate the conversation. My question for you all is, how are schools partnering with families and respective communities to create safe and supportive learning environments beyond academics?
I guess I want to share the concern. If you have a child, especially with a significant disability, safety is paramount. That is the first thing you're looking for. And I will double down on what Jake said, touring and visiting, is it? Because unfortunately, it's all about the school culture. And something that you can't really measure and is something really hard to replicate. It's great leadership, but it's also something you know and you feel when you tour school. But if kids are not feeling safe and supportive, a lot of learning's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Huge fan of extracurricular opportunities, I think, helps with absenteeism, but also making sure that all those opportunities are accessible, inclusive of all kids. So I want to definitely echo that concern, because that's really what it comes down to. So thank you for raising that.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, Carla, thank you. Jake, thank you. And Steve and Catherine, we appreciate your insights so much. And again, take it back to the green room and continue our conversation, because I know that there's a lot more to say. So we really appreciate your insights.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. We're going to do another giveaway here. Jim's flirting, so got to get him off the flirt wagon.
I'm trying to get him good with
right?
our guests.
Where'd you go to school, Jim?
Well, my real youth was in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, talk about going
away.
To school in 3 feet of snow.
Oh, yeah. Three feet would be a light storm.
Really? That's like October, right?
Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah, the spring.
We've got another giveaway.
Well, let's do it.
A ticket giveaway. 4 tickets to ASU versus number 24, TCU. That's Texas Christian. And that is this Friday night in Tempe. If you would, call the office, 928-855-9336. 928-855-9336. And Marissa June will hook you up with 4 tickets to the ASU game this Friday night.
Very good.
We've got people in the studio.
Yeah.
Standing by.
It's like a real business.
Carol Langford's here. Hey, Carol.
How are you, Paul?
I'm good. We're going to go to break, though, and we're going to come back, and we're going to introduce your guest, who is your successor I understand.
She is.
Ooh. I wonder if she's nervous about being on the radio.
We'll see.
All right. Stay with us. We'll be back on Speak Out. It's all about Havasu's K-12 Foundation and the taste of Havasu during, right now, Education Week.
Yeah.
First time I ever remember doing something like this.
Uh-huh.
All
was
right.
Was this our leader's idea?
Yes, of course.
Well, of course.
Of course. Can't give anyone else credit. Come on, man. All right, we'll be back with more in a moment.
Graduation day for you. Booty school dropout. Missed your midterms and flunked shampoo. Well, at least you could have taken time to wash and clean your clothes up after spending all that dough. The doctor.
Let's see if Jim knows who's singing. Who's singing this right now?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember.
Wow, you're the 50s
I
guy
know,
too.
It's too much information.
Anybody? Bueller?
Valley?
Who's that?
Valley?
What, Frankie Valley?
Yes.
Very close.
Darn.
Who's the other Frankie? It's a town off the coast of California.
No idea.
Avalon!
Oh, Frankie Avalon. That's right.
Everyone knows Catalina, right?
Oh, heck yes.
It was a good clue.
It was a good clue.
Thank you.
It was
Thank
a good
you.
Clue, yeah.
All right.
Just way off base to start with. All right, what is the symbolism here of Greece?
Beauty school dropout. It's a school, right?
Yes.
It's about school.
Oh. High school grad.
I'm just saying, this is about high school.
That's painful. You're reaching that far?
Okay, well, I could do Hot for Teacher. That
okay,
was Marissa's request. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by The Chair, Havasu-style dining and live entertainment in a flip-flop atmosphere by Mojave College, samsguns.com, solar power by Esme Electric, by Doritos Place, the Lewis Team, Remax by the Lake, and Looky Lou's Antiques and Collectibles, your favorite, Jim. Why?
Oh, yes, because of his slogan.
That famous slogan.
You die, I buy.
If your kids don't want your stuff, yep. Scott Goodman does. All right.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any correlation there. We probably have the only commercials with You Die, I Buy as their slogan, and another we're sponsored by a gun store.
Oh. I don't know.
We better investigate this.
I don't like that tie-in, though.
I know.
I really don't like that tie-in. Carol Langford's here, the coordinator of the Taste of Havasu, benefiting Havasu's K-12 Foundation. Welcome.
Thank you, Paul.
Introduce your guest. She almost guessed the name of the artist.
I'd love to. This is Linda McNally. She's been a board member for 2 years now with the K-12 Foundation, and she will be our Taste of Havasu 2026 coordinator.
Uh-oh.
So I thought I'd bring her on in, give her a little experience with you, and let her see how it all goes.
Linda, do me a favor. Bring this mic in just a tad. There you go. Perfect.
Okay.
Why did you get involved with K-12 Foundation?
Well, I've been in Havasu for about almost 20 years, and I have kids in our town. I have my grandkids in the town, and it just seemed like a great way to give back to the community and work with the teachers and the schools and the organization.
And it's one thing, Jim, that didn't change when I came back to do Speak Out from the first time.
Yeah.
They're still here.
Oh, yes, true.
It's an very established organization.
20-plus years.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
How long have you been a member?
I have been with the K-12 Foundation for 5 years. I am their 2025-2026 chairperson. Mm. So I get to work with the executive team and make some budget decisions, et cetera.
When do you start as a team putting together the Taste of Havasu?
The very next day.
I believe it. I've had to coordinate businesses like that for an event. It was a margarita type event, but it getting a lot of cats on the same page, right?
That's right. So we do our event in October 23rd this year at Sarah Park Rodeo Grounds, and our event this year is 4:30 to 7 o'clock, and we will start coordination of that event again for 2026 the first week of November.
Jim, have you ever been?
No, I must say I've not.
I don't think I have either. I've been to similar type events, but not this event.
We'll talk after this.
Okay. Do you have sushi?
No sushi.
Oh, no.
No sushi. But I'm going to tell you all about the great foods we do have there.
Yes, go yes, for it. And those restaurants that are bringing us that food.
Let me tell you the great restaurants that we have. We have Chabon's,
They are bringing barbecue pulled pork and mashed potatoes with haystack onion rings. And we have College Street Brew House. They've got chicken and shrimp with rice and gravy. We've got Donut Post.
Mm.
So we're a little bit of everything.
Yes.
Lynn makes the greatest donuts. Hangar 24 out there at the airports where you come on down. And they've got some sliders and coleslaw. And Melissa and the gang will be down with us. HRMC, the cafe inside of the hospital, amazing food.
They do have great food.
Don't they?
You can't say they have hospital food. That
no,
is great
they
food. They really do, Jim.
Yes. Uh-huh. And they have, get this, grilled hot dog deviled eggs. I have no idea, but it sounds so interesting. We have kettle corn, Chester's kettle corn.
There you go.
And they're going to do popcorn and lemonade. We've got J&M Outdoor Cooking. He's doing redneck tacos.
What?
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't that sound great?
That doesn't sound like it's going to fit in here, though. I'm kidding.
Not in this town, huh?
Right.
We've got Martini Bay right coming right out of the London Bridge Resort, and we thank them, and they got their beautiful ribs and potatoes. And Mojave Mortgage, I know.
Love you those guys.
Don't you? Come on. They do our hydration station for us with Arizona Premium Water making the water donation.
Nice.
So we really appreciate that. Mud Shark Brewery, they're going to have their fabulous beer there for us. Nautical Inn is doing coconut shrimp. Pick Your Potions got fabulous drinks going on. Mm-hmm. And River Blend Coffee is going to have coffee and baked cookies.
Ooh.
Romer is going to be serving some fancy vodka. Scoops Ice Cream.
The homemade stuff.
You know it with her fabulous cones. Summer Rae Wine and Bars got chili and Caesar salad. Foundry's got gumbo. And that is your ticket for $25 pre-sale. And they'll be going on sale next week. You can buy them and pick them up at College Street Brew House. Scoops Ice Cream will have them. Lake Havasu Chamber of Commerce will have them. And so will the school district office.
How big are the plates, do you suppose?
Yeah, well, not big enough.
So how little taste. You go to each booth and you get a taste and a bite.
That's why it's a taste of Havasu.
That's correct.
There you go.
And by the time you visit, your tummy is very full and happy.
Well, you don't want to make a second round.
It can't get any bigger, right?
That's true. Yeah.
Where did the funds go?
So, K-12 Foundation, this is our annual fundraiser, and we are pleased to say that we support the STEM programs. All of the Lake Havasu Unified School District schools receive money from the K-12 Foundation for STEM materials. We support professional development at the through the schools, getting educators to complete their national board certification with additional funding from the K-12 Foundation. We support professional development through the K-12 Foundation. We support tutoring through the K-12 Foundation. And we also have some experiences where we do academic recognition for the summa cum laude graduating children, students, and things of that nature.
Wow.
If people want to get involved with your organization, how do they go about that? How do they get to help you with this great work?
Absolutely. Go to our website, k12foundation.org, mm-hmm. or to our Facebook page, and send us a quick little note.
Good.
So we got the businesses that are bringing the food, but there are other sponsors that are involved here, including the big sponsors.
Let me tell you about our sponsors. We cannot do this without them. Anderson Toyota. The Anderson family, Andrea Foote,
yes.
What would we do without them? Andrea is a board member of the K-12 Foundation.
Oh, nice. Good
job, give
Andrea.
Her a big shout-out. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anderson provides the lifeblood for so many of our events. And
they
speaking
do.
As
right,
the
right, right.
fortunate recipient of some of that. Wonderful.
They absolutely do. They know what our community needs,
yes.
and they stand up behind it for education and all other kinds of great things. We have Unisource Energy Services is our sponsor this year. We have Concord General Contracting. Their first time this year sponsoring with us. They are a general contractor here in Lake Havasu doing some fabulous commercial work, and we greatly appreciate it. And TR Ore, who's a general contractor, they also are doing some great work here in Lake Havasu with commercial development.
Boy, right. Toby Ore has been in business, must be 35 years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Golly.
Absolutely.
So, Linda, are you reinventing the wheel at all for next year, or you just kind of go by what's been happening the last 25 years? How long has this event been going on?
This will be our 14th.
Yeah, it doesn't say on here, but I imagine you skipped for COVID,
14th.
Correct?
1 year
yeah,
we did
1 year.
Skip. Mm-hmm.
So the 14th, though.
Yeah. What I've seen in this past year of doing this is it is a well-oiled machine. I'm amazed at how quickly and how correctly and accurately they get everything put together, and there's just step after step after step after step. It's a long endeavor. It gets seriously, like she said, it works from the day after the last one we do. We're working on the next year.
That because the committees, I imagine there's different committees that work on this. You can't do it all at once.
No, we sure don't. Right. There is a committee. The committee's five of us. And we work all year. We're a working board. I work for an employer, and so do some of our other committee members. So we all work through it, get through it every day, and put a little time to it.
Let's go over the ticket prices.
Absolutely. So they'll go on sale next week, and pre-sale, what we call pre-sale tickets, which is up to the day before the event, an adult is $25. At the gate of the event will be $30, so you're saving $5. We can all do that. Kids age 5 through 12 will be $10. At the gate, it will be $15. And the future of Lake Havasu, they're free.
That's four and younger.
It sure is.
Right. You never asked me the date, Jim.
No.
What's the date?
What is the date?
It's about, you have about a month of pre-sale, maybe 3.5 weeks. So it's October 23rd.
It is October 23rd. Absolutely. Looking at reaching out to College Street Brew House, Scoops Ice Cream, Lake Havasu Chamber of Commerce, and the school district office all next week.
So we have Marissa June up front, right, answering phones.
Yes.
Is there kind of a surprise here for listeners? I don't think I gave it away yet.
Oh, well, let's give it away together. So K-12 Foundation, Taste of Havasu, would like to offer your listeners a pair of tickets.
Ooh.
They'll be available with Marissa here next week. But pick a caller, make a caller happy.
Right, right. I'm going to say the first caller for Marissa, and that's 855-933-6, 928-855-9336. It's a $50 value.
Yeah,
I'll save you $50, folks. So if you want to go to Taste of Havasu, and that's going to be at the Sarah Park Rodeo Grounds on October 23rd.
From 4:30 to 7 p.m.? And how many people do you expect?
About 750 people.
Gee. Oh, great. That's a lot of people to feed.
Yeah.
Sure is. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people feeding them, so.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's
a great thing. Great.
Right. What kind of feedback do you get about this event?
Amazing.
I bet.
Are people who reach out to us starting next spring asking us, what day do you have? Because we don't really start to promote it till maybe August, but they want it on their calendars.
Great.
They want to know what time the gates open. And when I get a chance, I'd love to throw out one more really big shout out to
of
somebody.
Of course, go ahead.
I want to say we can't do this event without Dub and Sandy Campbell.
Oh, sure.
They support the rodeo grounds. It's their grounds, friends of the fair. We can't do it without them.
Right.
So to the entire Campbell family, thank you.
Linda, did we miss anything?
Nope, I think you've got it covered.
All right, that's Linda McNally. She's the event coordinator for next year. Carol Langford's going to pass the baton, right?
I'll be right behind her to support her.
Going to pass the plate.
How's
yes,
yeah. You got it.
Pass the plate. She's the coordinator of the Taste of Havasu, benefiting Havasu K-12 Foundation. And that event is October 23rd. What night is that?
It's a Thursday night.
Thursday night, October 23rd. 4:30 to 7 p.m. at the Sarah Park Rodeo Grounds. Again, 928-855-9336 if you want two tickets to Taste of Havasu. Thanks for being here, ladies.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Doing good work in the community, by the way. Thanks.
Thank you.
You
Thank
bet.
You.
Yeah, William and Mary would be a school gym.
Yes.
I believe it's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, somewhere in the East. Yeah, Ivy League kind of stuff, isn't it?
Something like that. Yeah, it is Ivy League for sure. We'll have Christine Olson on the show tomorrow from Lake Havasu Unified School District as part of Education Week. She's the new director of student achievement for the district. And then President David Rose of the Lake Havasu Unified School District Governing Board.
Well,
whew, I can't believe I remember all that.
Very good.
He'll be on the show tomorrow as well. And then on Thursday, as I bring up my trusty electronic calendar here, we will have Chris from the Goldwater Institute will be on, and we'll have Brian Zemetel, and he's part of the Turning Point USA Club at the high school. All right, Hannity's up next, Jim.
All right.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3, the voice of the free.